Best dating advice I ever got. 3,000 women pick their favorite love tips. By Ali Benazir, MD, MPhil, author of The Tao of Dating. As read by the author, yours truly. Introduction. What do studies show over and over again to be the primary determinant of people's long-term happiness? It's the strength of their intimate relationships. So ladies, this dating and love business isn't just an afterthought to be taken care of after everything else that's supposedly more important, like walking the dog, getting into grad school, finishing your dissertation, or getting the next promotion. This is the main show. There isn't anything that's more important. The best dating advice I ever got is a booklet of highlights selected by 3,000 readers from The Tao of Dating, The Smart Woman's Guide to Being Absolutely Irresistible, the number one rated dating book on Amazon, as of February 12, 2012. It's intended for smart, educated women who want to enjoy as much success and fulfillment in their love lives as they do in their academic and career achievements. Much to my surprise, over a couple of years, readers like you have given The Tao of Dating 4.9 out of 5 stars on Amazon. Has the book touched a nerve? Here's some of what the readers had to say. 5 out of 5 stars, Changed My Life by PDC. Reading this book was life-changing for me. The advice was practical and loving. I read the book, I worked on myself, I met my husband. Life is beautiful. 5 out of 5 stars, Life-Changing Viewpoint on Dating Philosophy for Women. A must-read by Kimberly M. Dr. Ali appears to have deep compassion for both men and women stuck in the same dating behaviors that have resulted in the same miserable situations they have found themselves in the past. If you take the advice and insight in this book to heart, your behavior will change, what and who you attract will change, and then you can pass this book on to one of the other millions of other women who need a wake-up call. 5 out of 5 stars, From Empty Dating Life to Overflowing with Dates, by C. Thanks to this specific book, I went from having a non-existent dating life with empty weeks stretching ahead to being booked every night of the week, and in some cases, having 2 or 3 dates per evening. Best of all, I actually enjoy the process of dating now. I have so much fun on dates. Okay, you get the picture. Women seem to have responded to this, and there may very well be some really interesting stuff in this here booklet, okay? So why'd I write this? See, my goal is to make as many women happy and empowered as possible, because when millions of women around me are happy, I'm happy too. Purely selfish motives here, ladies. To reach those millions of women, I've made this booklet, so it's super accessible, okay? It costs less than a Starbucks coffee, so everybody can try it out for a song and figure out how right it is for you. It's choice nuggets from an already pretty decent book, so you know you're getting good stuff. All meat, no fluff. And it's quick. At about 5,000 words, you can read the whole thing over breakfast on a subway ride or in less time than you spend noodling on Facebook or Twitter every day. Or in the case of this audiobook, you just stick it on your MP3 player and go for a run, and boom! Before the run is over, you've listened to the whole thing. Also, I'm making this audiobook slightly more interesting than your average audiobook, in which the author basically just sits there and boringly reads the book without any inflection or tone. Hey, this is like a conversation, so I want you guys to be engaged and to think about the stuff I'm talking about, okay? Also, the 14th Dalai Lama recently said that the world will be saved by the Western woman. Now, the world may or may not need saving, but old 14 has a point there. In particular, I believe that it will be the enlightened, empowered, fulfilled, happy, healthy Western woman who is best positioned to change the world for the better. That's kind of why I wrote The Tao of Dating in the first place. Okay, so you get the picture. This book is good for you. Drink it up. Structure of the book. The odd number of tips are on how to be, your mindsets, attitudes, and beliefs. It's the inner work for fulfillment in your love life. The even number of tips are about what to do. Specific actions to take before, during, and after spending time with a man. Both are equally important, and it roughly reflects the structure of the Tao of Dating book, in which half the chapters are about how to be and half about what to do. So, without any further preamble, let's get to it. Number 1. The world is your supermarket. Alright, so right now there are about 7 billion people in the world. Of those, half are men, about 3.5 billion. So let's say you're kind of picky and only 1% of them are the right age, socioeconomic status, and height for you. That leaves a mere 35 million men to choose from. Now let's say you're ultra picky, and the guy has to live reasonably close to you and have a college degree, which is only 1% of those 35 million. So even if your selectivity renders 99.99% of the world's male population ineligible, that's still 350,000 men to choose from. To put that number into perspective, that's 3 men for every strand of hair on your head, 15 new men to meet for every day of your adult existence, or a city the size of New Orleans made exclusively of eligible men. It just might be enough to keep you busy through the weekend. So when it comes to men, think of the world as your supermarket. You are entering the supermarket with money in your pocket because, the way nature has arranged things, you are the pursued and men are the pursuers. Therefore, pretty much every woman gets to reproduce in her lifetime while many men end up going without. It's the truth, sister. You were born with a better end of the deal. So, relax. Take heart in knowing that all the good ones aren't taken or gay. There are more good ones left over than you can possibly handle in 1,000 lifetimes. One person's gain isn't your loss, just as one apple taken from the big pile of apples at the supermarket doesn't mean there aren't any more left for you. When you really embody this abundance mentality, something interesting happens. You tend to become less anxious about the whole dating process, and instead start to have more fun. You let good things happen instead of trying to force them. And all of this makes you even more attractive to anyone who happens to be observing. Number two is be a champion listener. One of the most powerful things you can do on a date with a guy is to listen to him. If you let the man continue uninterrupted about his baseball card collection, you may well be the first one who's ever done so, and he will absolutely adore you for it. I'm not saying this is easy. This may be one of the hardest things you'll do on a date, especially if you're used to talking to your girlfriends, where you're interjecting with witty comments and finishing each other's sentences. Do yourself a big old favor and resist the temptation to do that with guys. Just take turns talking, like the civilized adult you are, and listen completely when it's his turn. If you want to hear more, use the magic question, "Wow, that was really interesting. What's important to you about that?" And he will continue. This is especially important for people who have a tendency to interrupt guys or cut them off. If you're already a good listener, there's no need to overdo it. The point is to be polite, not to turn into a potted plant. Moderation is key. All this accomplishes two big things. First, he will feel like he's being heard like never before, which gets you major brownie points. Second, he's opening up to you, letting you find out all kinds of interesting things about him, which is kind of the point of going on a date. Win-win for everybody. Number three, you are already a goddess, so go ahead and act like one. At some point, via some readings on Eastern wisdom or yoga class, you may have been exposed to the idea that you contain the goddess within you. You may have even thought, well, that's nice, but how does it apply to my life? It all seemed a bit abstract. I'd like to bring to your attention that far from being an abstraction, the idea of embodying the goddess is an eminently practical one, with immediate life-changing consequences. Because goddess status is not something that you apply for or wait to receive when you are worthy. The goddess already abides within you, waiting to emerge. You just have to let her come out and play. The way to allow the inner goddess to emerge is simple. Act as if you already are her. If the goddess represents infinite kindness, then you act with infinite kindness. If the goddess is grace, then you behave graciously. If the goddess is nurturance, then you nurture those around you. If the goddess is strength, then you are strong and give strength to those around you. If the goddess is radiance, then you shine your light wherever you go. Here's a secret. Men already see you as a goddess. So when you act like one, not only will guys flock around you like hummingbirds to nectar, but you will also feel like a trillion bucks. All the time. Number four, always leave him wanting more. Dating is a little bit like a story. It has a beginning, middle, and end. It's got characters, cliffhangers, and climaxes, if you're lucky. So, like Scheherazade in The Legend of 1001 Arabian Nights, you want to stop the story at a point that the king wants to know what happens next so badly that he comes back for more the next day. This is called the art of always leaving him wanting more. It's caressing the back of his neck so he wonders what it's like to kiss you. It's kissing him on the cheek so he'll wonder what it's like to make out with you. It's wearing a provocative dress and keeping it on so he can't stop wondering about what's underneath. It means saying you find him interesting without necessarily revealing the true depth of your affection. It's called keeping him guessing a little bit. It just makes things more interesting. Granted, it's your party too, so eventually you will want to taste some cake yourself. But at least in the initial stages of courtship, you should refrain from giving away the whole store. If you sleep with him immediately and tell him you're crazy for him, what's left for him to look forward to? That's no fun. So, keep your power by tantalizing him, but not to the point of making either of you miserable from deprivation. The result of too much delayed gratification is often just delay. Number 5. Put your own oxygen mask on first. You know that announcement at the beginning of every flight, which we all pretty much ignore? The one that starts, "In the case of a drop in cabin pressure, oxygen mask will automatically come down from the ceiling." Now, do you remember what the next sentence is? If you are with a child, do they say put your own mask on second? No, they say put your own mask on first. Why? Because if you don't, you may both perish, and that's kind of a bad start to the party. But if you put your own mask on first, then you're in a position to help others too. Pretty much everyone agrees that this makes sense. And yet, there are a remarkable number of perfectly sensible, smart women who put the needs of the partner first. This just doesn't work. It's like trying to give rides to everyone in the neighborhood when your car needs repairs. You're not doing anyone any favors, and you may very well be endangering them too. So don't be a Whitney Houston. Professional martyrs have very short careers. Take care of your needs first, because only then are you in a position to take care of others. If your needs aren't being met in the relationship you're in, you have my permission to go find a better one. Also, consider this. We live in extraordinary times. There's so much transformation happening, and the world needs you to be the most capable, energetic, radiant version of yourself. So by staying in a relationship that diminishes your light, drains your energy, and makes you miserable, you're actually being selfish by neglecting your responsibility to the world. So stop that already, and dump the deadbeats because the world needs you to be happy. To accept the filet mignon that life is offering, sometimes you need to let go of the hamburger you're holding. In sum, you are the more important person in the relationship. There are no exceptions to this rule. Number 6. Never use email or text messages for emotionally sensitive communication. Ever play the game telephone as a child? You sit in a circle, and one person starts the game by whispering something in the ear of the next person, who in turn whispers the message to the next person, and so on until it comes back to the first person. That's when you find out that the initial message of "It was beautiful outside today, honey" has turned into "Your pet aardvark dresses funny." Similarly, email and texting mangle communication. In the absence of voice tone and facial gestures to modulate your message, misunderstanding will occur sooner or later. Moreover, whatever you say will be immortalized in writing, which can be forwarded to all his friends or, worse, posted on some notorious website for the world to see forever. So make a point of never ever using email or text for emotional content or something you don't want the world to read about. Use them only to convey factual information. For example, 8 p.m. at the Starbucks on 5th Street is great. And discuss the heavy stuff in real time only, face-to-face or via phone. Number 7. On the dance floor of love, allow yourself to be led every once in a while. Everybody has both masculine and feminine energy. Men tend to have more masculine energy, while women tend to have more of the feminine. Masculine energy projects and directs. Feminine energy receives and nurtures. In the same way that positive charge is attracted to negative charge and north poles of magnets are attracted to south poles, the masculine is attracted to the feminine. Let's call this principle polarity. At work, you, Ms. Superwoman, are directing things, managing people, heading corporations, even running whole countries. These are functions of masculine energy. In its place, masculine energy isn't just a good idea, it's essential to getting the job done. However, remember that the guy you're going on a date with has spent his whole life in masculine energy. So if you were to show up to your date still in masculine work mode, two things could happen, neither of them great. First, you run the risk of repelling him in the same way that like charges repel one another. Second, if your predominant essence is feminine, then that's where your strength and attractiveness abide. To be in your masculine is to give up your home court advantage like a tiger in water or a shark on dry land. So if you've been Superwoman all day, do something before your date to reconnect to your feminine essence. Switch out of work clothes into something softer, more colorful and sensuous. Take a bubble bath. Do yoga. Or if you just don't have time, do a mini pampering by putting on some perfume. Even if you're a born leader, on the dance floor of life, allow yourself to be led sometimes to let love flourish. Because it just doesn't work when both partners try to lead and the polarity gets killed. 3 points on this. First, it's important to see how good he is at taking the lead. If you never relinquish control, you'll never get to find out whether he's a man or a wimp. And it's your feminine energy that draws out his masculine essence. Second, when you deliberately let him lead, you've subtly taken charge of the situation, and in a crafty way, you're the one who's leading. Third, when one partner leads well and the other provides a graceful follow, both parties look better and everyone has more fun. 8. To evoke passionate feelings in a man, hold his gaze. Scientists found this chemical in the brain that mediates feelings of passion. It's called phenethylamine. One of the ways you can evoke it in another person is by looking directly into his eyes and holding the gaze for 3 seconds or more. Is it really that easy? Yep, it's that easy. And it totally works. If looking into someone's eyes ever felt intense to the point of being slightly uncomfortable, that just might be why. So if you like a guy and you want him to like you back, don't be afraid to look directly into his eyes when he's speaking and hold that gaze. You never know when you'll be sitting across from your next husband. 9. Go for the food, not the menu. Say you're at a restaurant. The waiter brings you the menu. Now, if you're hungry, would you settle for just the menu? What if the menu was leather-bound and printed on really nice, shiny paper? What if it's the best-looking menu you've ever seen, maybe even smells nice, right? Would the menu alone sate your hunger? No, no, and hell no. You would demand real food because you're hungry and you can't eat the menu. And yet, a shocking number of people out there have these lists of what they want in a partner. Oh, he has to be this tall, with this degree, from this college, with these kinds of friends. That, my dear, is all menu, mere symbols of the true nourishment you're seeking. What you're seeking is fulfillment. Because fulfillment is not a person, it's a feeling. And the person who checks off all the boxes on your list, whom you think is perfect for you, may in fact make you miserable. What you're really looking for is a guy whose presence catalyzes those feelings of fulfillment in you. Someone you can go see a movie with on a Friday night. Someone to cuddle and share brunch with on a Sunday morning. Someone you can call on when you get the bad news at 3 a.m. Someone who makes you feel like an even better version of yourself. As a simple example, a guy can be perfect for you in every way. Handsome, rich, tall, and doting even. And yet, if he's too busy to spend time with you or lives 300 miles away, you're not really getting those fulfillment feelings, are you? You're just getting the menu. So, no more munching on menus and wondering why you're still hungry, ladies. Go for the food of real fulfillment instead. 10, show up as promised, always. A little while back, I conducted a survey of 12,000 of my male readers about their dating preferences. One question asked what behaviors they found the most unattractive in women. 1 on the list, by a large margin, was flaking, canceling at the last minute, not showing up, and generally leaving him hanging. 2, for the morbidly curious amongst you, was neediness. If you flake on a guy you actually like, you've shot yourself in the foot 2 ways. First, you've wasted his time and goodwill, making a second date almost impossible. Second, even if you're not into the guy that much, you've done something subtle to your own psyche. You've made it slightly more acceptable for you to flake the next time. And that's been psychologically proven to be true, and that can be dangerous. Here's the thing. Right before the date, as you're doing your hair, picking an outfit, and putting on makeup, you're going to feel that little twinge of doubt, that niggling little voice in the back of your head saying, oh man, do I have to do this? The frequency of this happening, well, approximately 100% of the time. And here's another thing. Let's say a date with a new guy has a 10 to 20% chance of going anywhere. So in a way, it's easy to justify not showing up, right? Because it's like, well, that means 8 to 90% of the time, it's not going to go anywhere. But if you don't show up, that slim probability of something good and amazing happening goes down to exactly 0.0%. And the probability of you ending up a lonely, bitter spinster like Miss Havisham of Great Expectations goes up to 100%. So, show up. Because you never know when the next date could be your future husband. And it would be kind of sad for both of you if you flaked on him. So just make a commitment to yourself and maybe enlist a friend to help you to show up to every date that you make. Number 11, let acquired taste be your greatest ally. Do you like wine? How about sushi? It's the rare woman I found who doesn't like one or the other. And it's an even rarer woman who liked either wine or sushi at age 5. Raw fish, bitter drinks, ew. And yet something happened between age 5 and now. Maybe after that inauspicious first encounter you thought, well, lots of people seem to like it, so maybe there's something to it. So cautiously you gave Chardonnay or salmon roll another try. After a while you found it tolerable, and one day it became your favorite thing in the whole world. Crazy, huh? For the married woman I've spoken to, this happens to describe the most common course of their premarital romance. Oh, I really didn't like him that much when we first met. Like sushi and wine, the husband was initially unpalatable, later delectable, and acquired taste. This is because as a woman you have a unique gift, an alchemical power almost, and it is this. If a man makes you feel good, you can make him look good in your eyes. The miraculous nature of this power should not be underestimated. It implies that you are fully capable of dating a guy who's not your type initially, and end up being deliriously happy with him as he becomes your type the more you get to know and appreciate him. Now, there has to be at least a smidgen of sexual compatibility here for this to work. See tip number 20. So if he doesn't light your fire at all, he may be the wrong guy. But even a small fire properly tended can turn into a giant blaze. That's what we're talking about here. When you know that your mind is designed to turn something you don't even like into your favorite dish, then you know you live in a benevolent universe. What makes you happy is no longer constrained by the images and ads and movies, and you know for a fact that you can find fulfillment, real fulfillment, in unexpected packages. May the miracles never cease. Hallelujah and amen. Again, amen. Amen. Excellent. Number 12, use a tiered approach to make men come over and say hi. Most people, including you, think that it's the men who are initiating contact in courtship. But scientists have shown that more than half the time, it's the women who are opening the interaction. They're just more subtle about it than the guys, which is why guys get all the credit. And that's just the way women want it. The scientists observed that women were using nonverbal solicitation signals, a fancy way of saying they were using welcoming body language. Here's a suggested sequence, which is part of what I call the tiered approach. A. You start by turning your body towards him, especially your knees, and smiling at him broadly. Supplementing this with mild hair twirling amplifies the effect. In this day and age, most guys know that hair twirling equals flirtation. B. Throw occasional glances in his direction without actually making eye contact. If you are in his field of vision and he's not comatose, he will notice. C. Next level of escalation is to look him directly in the eye. See tip number 8. A friendly smile to go along with it is the most inviting. A challenging look, the come hither look, the bedroom eyes, whatever you want to call it, may be too much for most men and scare them away. Remember, you just want to get a conversation started, not to have him abduct you to his cave. Well, not yet at least. Number 13. Go for Victor, not Lance or Biff. Victor, Lance, or Biff. What am I talking about here? Well, there are two main characteristics you're looking for in a guy. One is spine, his strength, decisiveness, masculine essence. The other is heart, his compassion, consideration, and caring. A guy with a lot of spine and no heart is a macho brute, Biff, as I like to call him. Most bad boys fall in this Biff category, and although they may be a fun ride to start, they will cause you unlimited grief. A guy with a lot of heart but no spine is a sensitive New Age guy, or Lance. Most yuppie guys are Lances, stuck somewhere between trying to be chivalrous and acting tough. They will annoy you in the long run. The guy who has both spine and heart is Victor. He is strong, he is compassionate, he's a stud. The Victor is rare, but he's out there. And now that you know that he exists, you know what to look for. He's in control without being controlling, dominant without being domineering, sweet without being a pushover. He's got direction and he's got balance, and he knows how to take care of business, of himself, and of you. Settle for nothing less than a victor. Number 14. Do these three things to make men automatically approach you. Most women feel as if it's the man's job to initiate the interaction. Even though I mostly agree with that, here's a little secret from a man to you. Even the bravest men are terrified of approaching a woman they find attractive. So if you want men to approach you, there are certain things you can do to make it easier for them. Barricading yourself atop a moated castle would not be one of them, especially if your name isn't Rapunzel. The following, on the other hand, are good starts. A. Wear a distinguisher. This is what I call a clothing item or accessory that evokes interest, making it easy for the guy to ask, "Hey, that's a cool scarf, a cool brooch, flower behind you here, chainmail suit, where'd you get it?" B. Position yourself in an accessible place. Sitting in the corner with your three girlfriends makes it impossible for even Hercules to approach you. Be somewhere that's easy to walk up to you and say hi without having to cross a minefield. C. Be a smiling machine. There is nothing more inviting to a man than a smile on your face. So, think of some silly fifth grade joke, and here, I even provide you with one. Question, where's the general hide his armies? Answer, in his sleeveys. Yeah, I know, I told you it was fifth grade. Or think of your buddy who makes you laugh the most and have that goofy grin plastered on your face all the time. Number 15, stop reading all women's magazines like now. I have a friend who gets food poisoning a lot, like 3 or 4 times a week. Every time it happens, she calls me to ask what to do. I tell her that there isn't much you can do after the fact, except maybe hydration and bed rest, but maybe she shouldn't go back to that same junk food restaurant that made her miserable and sick over and over again. I mean, it sounds pretty crazy, right? Why would somebody willfully return to the source of so much guaranteed pain and suffering month after month? And yet, millions of women across the world keep reading magazines like Cosmopolitan, Glamour, Elle, and Harper's Bazaar month after month. The missions of these magazines is not to serve you, but to serve their advertisers. And their advertisers have a vested interest in making you feel inadequate enough about yourself so you'll buy their clothes, creams, and shoes that will supposedly make you more attractive. The 400-plus pictures of super tall, skinny 16-year-old models per issue probably don't help your self-esteem either. Here's the truth. Right now, you are the youngest and prettiest you'll ever be. You don't believe me? Well, when are you going to be younger? You're not ever going to be younger. Okay, great. And I promise you, there will come a day when you're 102 years old, super wrinkly and stooped, when you'll look back on a picture of you from today and think, whoa, man, did I look good. What I would give to look like that again. So rejoice in this glorious moment of now and refuse to read publications whose primary purpose is to make you feel inadequate when you're in fact hotter than a supernova. Instead, read inspiring stuff like, say, The Tao of Dating even, and hang out with people who like you just as you are and prop you up. Number 16. To start a conversation with a man, say something, anything. Anything, and I really do mean anything you say to a man, is sufficient to get the conversation going. So there's no need to get overly fancy or flirtatious. It's rare enough for a woman to start a conversation that he'll be eager to keep talking. A simple hello does the trick most of the time. If you do want to get a little fancy, you can compliment him on an item of clothing. For example, you say, "Hey, nice tie." You can ask him a factual question. Do you know which teams are playing this game right now? Or ask him for help. Could you pass me a napkin, please? These kinds of questions activate a man's natural instinct to be helpful, so all men respond to them positively. And if he's the least bit interested, he will keep the conversation going once you've started it. Number 17. Think be, do, have instead of have, do, be. If I had a boyfriend, then I'd be able to do the things people in relationships do, and then I'd be happy. That's how most people think when it comes to relationships, but it's not how things actually work. Successful folks know that success comes from the level of identity. You are the type of person who is successful. Then you will do the right actions, and from right actions you will have right results. For example, let's say you want to be wealthy. The first step is to place yourself in the mindset of wealth. Actually feel the abundance you already possess and ask yourself, what would Warren Buffett do? Then you start to do those things, just like Warren Buffett would do, since they're the natural consequence of your state of mind of being a wealthy person. You'll make the right plans, associate with the right people, place proper investments. Then, as a result of those actions, riches will flow from your fingertips. You will have wealth. So a successful mindset for dating would be more like this. If I am happy and fulfilled, then I'll act like a fulfilled, happy person. I'll be doing things that fulfill me and serve the world. I'll be going out into the world, associating with high-quality people with a similarly life-affirming energy. As a result, I'll be lit up like a Christmas tree all the time, and there will be more guys wanting to be around me than I possibly know what to do with. And I'll probably end up with one of them as my boyfriend or spouse. The right results will have come because you're already happy, not because you're waiting for a man to create your happiness. Number 18. The best way to look good is to feel good. Allow me to let you in on a huge secret that will save you oodles of time, money, energy, and grief. Men are definitely visual creatures, so you have to be a man's type in order for him to feel attracted to you in the first place. However, if you're not his type, there's almost no beauty trick you can do. Heels, lipstick, eyeliner, plastic surgery, Spanx, that will make him hot for you. And if you are his type, you could be wearing a burlap sack and he'd still want you. This means that most of the effort women put into making themselves look good beyond just looking decent and presentable, for example, 4 different colors of highlights in the hair, trendy super cute dress, ultra fancy shoes that cost you a week's pay, is lost upon men. Well, the straight ones, at least. It just doesn't register on their radars. What do men notice? Men notice your energy, your vivacity, your radiance. That kind of thing is contagious, and when you feel good, we feel good around you too, and we want to be around you more. So, exercising, going to a yoga class, meditating a bit, or reading something inspirational do far more for your attractiveness than time spent taming your hair or manipulating your complexion. Once the right man has found you attractive enough to seek your company, he's looking for the beauty that lights you up from within. So working on feeling good always pays off more. 19. Leave the cage door open. A man's most treasured possession is his freedom. The more of it you give him, the more he will respect you, and paradoxically, the more he will want to run back to you. Conversely, the more you try to hem him in and restrict his range of motion, the more he will want to run away from you. Now understand that you should definitely have boundaries for what you will and will not put up with. For example, maybe a bachelor party with the boys is fine in your book. Vanishing for a week without a call, getting strung out on heroin, partying with Charlie Sheen and his hookers, perhaps less fine. Men will actually respect you more when you articulate your boundaries clearly and let your needs be known. What you should not do is attempt to police, monitor, or smother him. So even if you're crazy about a guy, resist the temptation to spend every waking moment with him. Would you rather he grudgingly bear your company or be absolutely dying to see you? So give him the gift of missing you. And unless you leave the cage door open, you'll never know if he's staying of his own volition or under duress. And last, but definitely not least, tip number 20. For a long-term union, make sure you connect with your partner at all 3 levels of heart, mind, and body. Here's the final tip, and it could be the most important one, so listen up. You've probably started a relationship or two with a guy solely because you thought he was hot. You may have even gone out with a guy because he was intellectually stimulating or just because you really liked him. These are all fine reasons for dating a guy when you're just testing the waters. But if you're looking for a relationship that lasts, like 10 years or more, even finding a guy who matches up with you on 2 of the 3 ain't enough. Why? Because a man that you connect with at the level of mind and heart is basically a brother. Someone you connect with at just mind and body level is a friend with benefits. Body and heart connection without the mental connection is someone who will eventually bore you, not a program to sign up to for a decade or more. So by process of elimination, we conclude that for a lasting relationship, you want to connect with a partner at the level of heart, mind, and body. You want to have deep affection for one another. You want to have stuff to talk about, preferably forever, and you want to have great sexual chemistry. Of those 3, I would say that the sexual compatibility is the foundation without which the other 2 simply won't work. Evolution has designed the entire courtship process so we match up with someone to make healthy babies with, so there's really no way around that. Then, a few years later, when the sexual heat wears off, you still want to have something to talk about for the next, say, 30 years, so the head stuff is not exactly optional either. And it would be nice if you love one another, so you need to have the heart part too. That's all three. Settle for no less than that. Conclusion. I really hope you found these tips useful. However, even more important than reading good advice is implementing it. So if there was a bit you liked, tie a string to your finger, stick a note somewhere visible, have a friend remind you, or set an alarm on your phone so you can remember to do that thing when it counts. Or even better, consult resources to further your education. Further resources. Before you do anything else, I want to make sure you get the over $200 worth of bonuses that come with this ebook. They include a 60-minute lecture and transcript on how to be a modern goddess, along with meditation MP3s, instructional videos, and other material which you may find useful and even funny. Sign up here to claim all of your bonuses. It's taoofdating.com/best-dating-advice. Did you like what you just read? Did you find it beneficial, uplifting, empowering? Well, I'm delighted to hear that. And I have great news for you. That was just the appetizer. A full 6-course meal awaits, and it's called The Tao of Dating, The Smart One's Guide to Being Absolutely Irresistible. It's a full program of figuring out who you really are, what you want, where to find what you want, how to attract it into your life, and how to keep it flourishing. Instead of a series of tips, it's more like a life plan for long-term fulfillment. It's 280 pages instead of 20. The full novel instead of a chapter. The full meal instead of just the appetizer. It's the best-reviewed dating book on Amazon as of February 12, 2012. 4.9 out of 5 stars. Thousands of women have benefited from it, and if you've read this far, I have a feeling you will too. You can use the coupon code 20BEST, that's the number 220, and then BEST, all caps, to get your $10 discount on taoofdating.com/women. That's taoofdating.com/women, WOMEN. Now, are you really serious about finding lasting love and fulfillment in your life and really want to integrate the teachings of the Tao of Dating into your behavior? Then there's no better way to do that than to sign up for the Project Irresistible Home Study Course. It's a 6-week self-directed course which will guide you through all the material in the Tao of Dating so you can enjoy your happiest, healthiest love life and find the fulfillment you deserve. Download a free 60-minute overview lecture of the course at taoofdating.com/irresistible/now.php. When you follow me on Twitter, I'll give you a special $5 discount code via direct message on any product order on the Tao of Dating site. You'll also receive my occasionally witty and informative 140-character musings, along with updates on meals and other terribly momentous events. My handle is Dr. Ali Benazir, spelled just the way it is in the title of this book, Alibinaz as in zipper, IR. If you don't have a Twitter account, it'll take you 3 minutes to get one for free. That's all, ladies. I'm really glad you had a chance to listen to this. And, you know, if it's an MP3 you put on your phone or your iPad or iPod, you know, listen to it again. Because these principles, they bear repetition. And that's how learning happens. Like my neurology professor said in medical school, repetition is the branding iron of learning. And seek out further resources. You know, my book is great, but, you know, there's other really great books out there too. So just make sure you put in the effort to actually implement the tips that you liked and change your behavior for the long run. I'm here to help you become the happiest, most fulfilled version of yourself. And if you have questions for me or comments or would like to find out more about the Tao of Dating, write me, Dr. Ali at taoofdating.com. I get all my own emails. I try to respond to as many of them as time permits. And if you have good questions, sometimes it gets featured on the blog. So I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Dr. Ali Benazir. Now go forth and be the light.